I'd like to remind you that there are circumstances where leadership under the wrong anointing can be defied. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And where they're going to force you to do something ungodly, and you need to stand, and you need to be able to respond. That the three Hebrew children were confronted by Nebuchadnezzar, and they were told that they had to bow to the idol. Yep. And they said, they honored the king, they treated him well, but they definitely said to him, forget it. The only one we're going to bow to is God, the Creator. You have this similar situation in the book of Acts, and you have, you know, people who will try to force you to deny Christ, and you have a right to say, I'm sorry, but, you know, even if you're in authority, you know, this is wrong. You're not going to force me to deny the one that died for me. So I wanted to make sure that we put that in there. Yes, you honor and you respect. And how you respond will give respect. But you don't need to bow when it is wrong what they're asking you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Does that help at all?
Yeah, that answers something else.
Oh, okay. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. See, the accuser will also try to tell you, you should have bowed even when they tried to force you into doing something that was wrong. But that's also deception. It's not God. There were times when I've had to stand my ground and heard my mouth speak things that I would have never spoken, but I knew afterwards that it was the Lord. And the Lord was really defying. And you have an example with Moses, with Pharaoh, standing his ground, saying, no, let my people go. And the Lord had already warned Moses. He's going to retaliate. But Moses stood his ground because what he was asking them to do was wrong. So you have situations where the Holy Spirit will have you hold your ground. And you should hold your ground. Even if it's a mother, a father, a judge, a king, it doesn't matter. Okay? When it's wrong, you declare that it's wrong and you will obey the Lord Most High. James chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 1 because it describes what James believes he is. He's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he's a servant. He's knowing that God is his awesome authority. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. So now, he's a servant of God, but he's also writing to all the tribes. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, I don't know about you, but joy is not usually my response.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? Because my flesh usually rises to the surface and gives me some directions. Mm-hmm. Not always godly directions. But there are times when you're going to declare, Lord, I'm going to thank you. Because this trial is designed by you for me to do something. And so verse 3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Well, sometimes I think my perseverance has already been developed.
Amen.
But by those fruits that I see coming out of me, I'll know whether I have actually matured a little bit. Okay? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. Why do you and I desire to become mature?
We want to serve Him in deeper ways.
All right. That's one thing. Anyone else?
Because we want to get to really know Him.
We want to really get to know Him.
Who He is, and you can't do that if you're immature.
Okay. So you're going to have a childish attitude when you're a little child. When you're a young teenager in the Lord, you're going to find that you're going to be very similar to the woman in the book that I shared there. Like a child, like a teenager, reacting to emotions. Oh, I'm in love. You don't even know the difference between love and puppy love, but you're in love. And don't tell anybody at that age that they're not in love, because you're going to get a what?
Earful.
You're going to get an opinion and an earful, yes. So, just like a teenager, it flips from, side to side, going all over the place. And that's what happens with emotional believers. Now, a mature believer is going to come to a place where he's going to say, or she, oh, this was a raunchy test. I didn't enjoy it, but Lord, I am seeing that I am maturing, which is what happened to you. Mm-hmm. And a little more maturity, Lord, and there's a day coming where I even won't react. Wow, what a day that's going to be. Where you're going to realize that your flesh is no longer in the control room. And your emotions are less powerful than they were.
And I would not have really known that had I not shared that to you.
Correct.
I really wouldn't have.
Well, that tells you why it's important to open up. When you do get something sometimes and there's a press from the Lord, because it's not a lesson just for Mary Jo. This is a lesson for all of us. Because all of us are going to have tests of this nature. And they're not going to be pleasant. But you'll find out if you have matured. Peggy's comments on Sunday about getting a word from a man that did not know her, giving her a word of knowledge.
Oh.
And that word of knowledge erased the lies of the darkness. Literally put the enemy on the run. And yet, you obeyed going through the whole test, which was, again, a picture of your maturity. Because now the healing that took place in you on Thanksgiving is not going to be needed again, because you've already passed the test.
Sure, you passed the test. You did too. I didn't know.
But you need to know that these tests are designed by whom? Yeah. So again, consider it pure joy after I see that I've grown up a little. Whenever I face trials of many kinds, because I know that the testing of my faith develops my perseverance, and my perseverance is finishing its work, so that I am seeing a wee bit of more maturity than I had before, and complete, not lacking anything. Whoa! Have we reached the completeness yet?
No.
Are we on the way to completeness?
Yes.
Is there a day when we'll be able to say, I am complete?
Yes.
And I'm not lacking?
In any.
Woo! Do you think for one moment James could write that down if he didn't taste it? Wow. Now, I've shared with you many, many times before, but I'll share it again for those of you who weren't here. This particular chapter of that particular letter I read out loud to myself every day for over 1 year. I was so tired of repeating it, because I kept saying, God, I don't get it. I read it again. Read it again. You're not catching on. You're not hearing. You're not connecting the dots. And after a whole year, how thick can a man be? Yeah. I'm not trying to complain. I am trying to say to you, we don't get it because there's blindness on us sometimes. And the very corner that we need to hear or see is like, it just, for some odd reason, you just don't get it. You read it, even when you're reading it out loud, and you're looking at that word, but it's not manifesting any fruit. Why?
Has it gone deep enough? It's gotta get rid of
somehow it. There are blocks in you and me from background, from emotions, from training, from belief systems, wrong beliefs, and they are so strong that we reject the truth. Literally, we reject it until somehow the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, will literally begin to slice open that truth. Because the Spirit of truth is better than any other stuff. And that truth will start permeating, and when it does, and you start looking at it again, and you're saying, I've read this over 300 times. How come I didn't get this 6 months ago? How come I couldn't connect the dots? How come I didn't see this? And that was my experience. Did I enjoy the trip? Some days yes, and some days no. Some days it was medicine. And some days it tasted like horrible stuff. Okay? When I was a boy, come fall, there was castor oil. And you had to have a teaspoon and a half of castor oil. Every child in the family had to have it because it was to clean you out. And I would make my mother every promise in the book not to have to taste it. Why?
Tasted horrible. Terrible.
Anybody ever have to take castor oil? Oh, it was a French tradition. Come September, October, you had to get yourself ready. You were about to take a real, and of course she would use a tablespoon, 3/4 full. Just looking at it, my whole being would go into convulsions. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. And she would try to tempt me with every follow-up that my desires, hot cocoa, a cup of tea, a juice, a fruit, a candy, ice cream, whatever we would have. Ma, I can't. Just looking at it.
Did you take it this year?
Huh?
Have you taken it yet this year?
I don't do that anymore. But that was Mama's directive, okay? And Mama was always right. Huh?
Well, everybody has used it this year because it's formulated. Castor oil you take by mouth, but it's also formulated to make polyurethanes.
Oh!
It's a raw material, so the foam that we're sitting on.
Is that funny?
You're kidding me.
Nope.
Oh, my God, and I've been sitting on it all night.
It's under, okay.
This foam is made from castor oil?
It could be. It depends who made it and what formulation it is. But castor oil is in a lot of polyurethane.
Boy, I'll tell you, my mother would be very proud of me because now it's beneath my feet.
When we order it, they say, do you want industrial?
Yeah.
Or lab quality? Or oh my God. That's oral quality. And the difference is not that.
Well, it was medicine and I didn't want it.
So
and
if you need some, we have some in our factory. Comes by the drum.
You're very, very welcome. I thank you for your offer, but no thanks. I don't mind sitting on it.
Right.
I don't like what it does on the inside. Because I'll tell you truthfully, it did house cleaning in places that I didn't know I owned. But we survived every year.
Yep.
See, I don't know why this lacking nothing is something to be desired. But it is in all of us. I truly believe that we have that. It's almost like built into our spirit man, where God wants to accelerate us to go higher all the time. But our soul says, enough.
Absolutely.
I had some of this last year. Ma, please. Can we?
Well, his objective is to make us like his son.
Yes.
So we have to continue to go higher and higher, even though the soul is making every excuse in the book, like the castor oil,
mm-hmm.
for why, hey, the last test, that was good. Let's just stay here for a while.
I'm undone with the
test.
Yeah,
right. Let's stay on this.
Enough for the test.
That's right.
Correct.
And they hurt so much because they're customized.
Oh.
Yes, they are customized.
They're random. They're like, okay, we know what your problem is. Bam!
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Wow.
Darlene.
I was just going to say, it's like the soul is the is the child and the spirit is the parent.
Yes.
And it's the same.
It's the same war.
Interaction there,
yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I didn't ask you. I told you. You know, it has all kinds.
And
of
my things. Word is final.
That's right.
That's right.
Why?
Because
I said so.
So.
You know, it's like all these things,
yes.
They make sense now. You know,
yes.
I hate to hear them as a kid. Like, why? And it's like, because I told you so. But that doesn't answer my question. It's like, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's that's how I hear it. Like. The soul being the child.
It is a child. Mm. And it's going to mature and it's going to grow up. And that's what the word says, that I believe James had that victory.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Are we allowed to?
Yeah, why not?
We're doing the trials and tests and tribulations. At what point, is there some kind of a principle that we can follow that at some point we know we've gone through that? And then is there a waiting period before we can see some of the fruit that comes from having gone through that particular trial? Or in some cases, it just seems like it's just one after another, and...
Go ahead. Sam.
And this is what I believe. I think you don't see the fruit of that until you're put in the exact same test in a different circumstance. And even then, it's still probably going to hurt because we're on the road to completion. Because I was recently in a test that I really didn't want to be in at all. And the comparison of how I would have reacted if I was a 10-year-old again in that fearful position versus where I'm at now with the Lord, it was different. Did I enjoy the trip? No, it was hell on earth. But I see now that, you know, I did stand in ways that I needed to, and I did grow. So that's what I believe in terms of that.
So after you finished through that test, you would look back and you could identify progress made.
Yep. It might not be to the degree that I would absolutely have liked it to be, but I can always see that there is progress to some degree.
Did your spirit rejoice because of progress? Or was it just an acknowledgement that there was progress?
I rejoiced after that test had passed again. In the midst of it, I acknowledged it, but it was painful because it also reminded me how much further I still had to go. But afterwards, I did rejoice.
Well, in many situations, I'm not going to say all, but in many situations, I released forgiveness like a blanket. You know, all those who have injured me, I forgive them all, Lord. Oh, boy, this feels so good. I've got them all forgiven.
All covered.
6 months later, one sticks out.
Yeah.
And, oh, I've already forgiven. But then he starts fine-tuning that corner,
yep,
and says, well, what about when they said this about you? And you can actually feel the emotions start coming up. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
And you say, but I already forgave. Well, that's when you learn there's levels of forgiveness.
Yep.
And when the Holy Spirit's on the job and he starts to push you to say, hold no sin against them. Well, now that's a whole different package. Hold no sin against them, but I want a pound of flesh for everything they did to me. And then you hear the scriptures that say, ah, everything that was stolen from you will be returned. Oh, so you could claim that for a fitting response and teach those SOBs a lesson. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Is it God?
No.
No.
Does it sound like God?
Kind of.
Is it comfortable?
Yep.
When it's comfortable, there should be a little yellow light going on and off and saying, this is quite comfortable. Whoa, maybe it's too comfortable. Maybe it's off center just a bit.
Out of balance.
You got it. So I've learned when I get that little yellow light, I have that caution feeling. God, I'm trying to hold on to something here. I can see it. You've got to help me to get this thing out of there. I don't want that garbage in there anymore. Yeah. And then you ask him for help. That's humility. Because you know on your own, you're only going to go what? To a certain degree. To get you to that next level, you need him. Does that help at all? Because asking for help was not my cup of tea. I can do this job all
myself.
You got the three helpers, right? Sure, me, myself, and I can do this. Okay, let's go back now a little bit more so that we can see what he's really after. Verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom. Now that's the trigger, isn't it? He should ask God. Yep. Well, I don't need wisdom. I'm wise already. Yeah? But asking him for help is going to be humble pie. Yes or no?
Yep.
Okay. When I humble myself, who gives me grace? The Lord. He pours it into me. He gives generously to all without finding fault. That's the part I like. He's not looking to find fault with you. He's not looking to blame you. The accuser's on that job.
Yep.
He's not going to find fault with you at all if you humble yourself and say, help! Best prayer in town. I can't do this. I don't even want to do this.
Yep.
Recognizing that you can't or don't want to is what you need to speak out. Whatever you have on the interior, however difficult it is to push those words out there, do it. There are times you're going to be tearing. There are times you're going to be screaming it out because it's going to be angry. There are times that you're going to have all kinds of emotional turmoil. You still need to do it. And the sooner you do it, the quicker you're going to get the fruit. Yes.
I have a situation, I don't need to go into details, but a situation of something that has happened to me years ago, and every once in a while I say, oh, they're forgiven.
Yeah.
I'm all set with that, you know, trying to convince myself. And the last time I did, the Lord said to me, just as clear as sitting here, he said, how would you react if you ran into that person? I thought, oh my God. My first thing was, I didn't even know if I could speak.
Yeah.
And I don't think I could.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't forgiven. Totally.
Yeah.
So it's just another
conditional
layer.
Level.
Yep.
Yeah. Conditional level. Okay. Let's go back to verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to him. It doesn't say it might. it will be given. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. There's your believing system. Shutting off the doubts is not comfortable. Shutting off the lying thought patterns that are coming in, that's not easy either. But I must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. I'm going to share with you a small miracle that may not be small to some, but it was a good sized one for me yesterday. We did quite a bit of repairs on the apartment where now the house is for sale on Springfield Street. And we had to put in a new bathroom floor. And obviously, the piping is not exactly new. It's probably several years old. And there's a shutoff under the toilet because we had to remove the toilet and put it back, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, I put that special tape on it. I know what I'm doing. I tightened it up, but I didn't want to over-tighten because you can break things, okay? So I put a small cup, no, about the size of one of those, for the first 3 days. And each day when I would go back, I would check, and there would be about a half an inch of water on the bottom of the paper cup. So I double-checked with Gary, and he did it a couple of times, and I told him, do only a quarter of a turn each time because you don't want to break the pipe or the shutoff. Okay, Dad. So off he went back home to Vermont, and I checked the next day, and sure enough, we still had a little bit of water. So last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, they were going to have an open house. And of course, I really wanted to take the paper cup and throw it out because it didn't look good. But the safety factor was you leave the paper cup underneath, okay? And so I took the wrench and I tightened it up just another quarter of a turn, because I had dumped out maybe this much water from 24 hours. And I said, Lord Jesus, I'm going to thank you that your angels are going to finish this job, because this is getting long. It's been quite a few, you know, actually over a week now, every day doing this, and I mean, you know, it's getting tiresome. So, you know, please, thank you that, you know, the angels are going to do their job. Yesterday, I am doing my exercises, and the thought literally flashed in my head, the cup. Anybody got a guess as to what he said and what I heard?
Pipe broke.
Pipes broke. It's dripped and overflowed. You're going to have to, the water's flowing down into the living room.
Yeah.
Okay? And it went on and on and on and on, and I got angry. No way! I said it out loud. Those angels did the job. There's not going to be a drop of water. But the unbelief was in my head.
Yep.
Okay? It was accusing me. Well, anybody guess where I went?
Right to the cup. And it was empty.
This cup passed before.
When I moved the cup and it was totally empty, there was a joy in my heart that I can't explain. You say you're nuts.
No.
No. This is the proof that if you trust by choice, it can and will be done for you. But if you doubt, what do you get from God? What if I submitted to those thoughts?
Your cup would have been running over.
My cup would have blew up. Got it? Choosing by choice to activate your will and to believe again that the miracle is complete. It will be done. Believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. That was my biggest lesson. I was unstable in everything that I did. I was like a reed. The wind would blow in one direction and I would The wind would blow in the other direction. I'd go over to the other side.
No balance.
I rest my case. Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, I need wisdom.
Holy Spirit, I need wisdom.
And I need fortitude and strength.
And I need fortitude and strength.
When I believe something,
when I believe something,
I'm asking for your help to stay on the believing department. And not to shut down.
And not to cower.
To every thought.
Every
to every accusing thought. And I will pull down those thoughts. Because Jesus didn't fail. And I'm not a failure.
I am a winner.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got it.